This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
Senator Andy Menard joins us this morning. Senator, I can't even imagine what it's like to be an elected official these days. I mean, it's been a tough road for a long while, even tougher today. You feel like every time you talk about something in a medical or scientific sense or what we have to do, you have to do this disclaimer that, of course, you're rooting for small business. We all are. There's not a single person that has not been impacted by this since March.
No, there isn't, Brian, and it's hard. I mean, you just articulated this. This is hard for everyone. There is no one that is immune to the challenges that individuals or small businesses or families or governments face each and every day. And we need people to step up and think about their greater community at this moment because the numbers are staggering. You know, you mentioned the mayor. I just got to say, Brian, I talk to Mayor Wolf, I don't know, almost daily. And I, too, have seen and witnessed in her voice over the phone because we don't meet daily in person. But I think she's emblematic of what's happening at the local level because there's nobody that cares more for the city of Decatur and businesses in each and every neighborhood and the impact that COVID has had. But at the same time, she knows she has a responsibility to public health, which ultimately is about saving the lives of people as the disease spreads throughout the community. And that's a really unenvious position to be in when you're a local official and a mayor and have to make those decisions. But, you know, today is the day where I feel like I have to reiterate each and every moment that I have the opportunity to. We have to have people understand that the numbers are growing exponentially, that social distancing works, that wearing a mask works, that washing your hands works. We're close to a vaccine, it appears. We still have some ways a way to go, but let's do the things that we can do now to stamp this out until we get a vaccine, and let's think about people around us. That's what we need people to do today.
You can still support your local businesses. You can still order takeout. You can still, you know, we're giving away thousands of dollars worth of gift cards to these restaurants to help push money into their pockets, and people can still do this in a safe way. What I am tired of, Senator, is the temper tantrums and the childish behavior. I don't know what the Bar Association or what his fellow colleagues will do with Thomas DeVore when this is all said and done. This guy is a problem. This bounty he offered up about the governor, I mean, are we not stretching some laws here or at least, I mean, unethical behavior? Everybody deserves representation, but his actions in all of this, they've been deplorable.
It is, and I will tell you what happened in the last 48 hours with the governor's daughter specifically, and how what started as a parody social media account, I think it was Instagram, might have been Twitter, and spread throughout this ecosystem of what we put in air quotes, I'm using air quotes right now, as news, that then ends up as a bounty on, you know, from an attorney who, by the way, doesn't have a stellar track record when it comes to how he's approaching this in court on what he says is on behalf of small businesses, but ends up as a bounty to stalk the governor's family. I mean, we've gone really far into this, and we have to remember that at the other end of that is a teenager whose life has been turned upside down. I'm sure like my teenagers, their lives have been turned upside down. This is not easy on anybody, but that type of thing goes beyond anything I've ever seen. And you know what it doesn't do, Brian? It doesn't fix any problems, right? That doesn't fix anything. It doesn't fix anything for the struggling small businesses. It doesn't fix anything to get high school sports back. So my son who is missing basketball, but you know what? I'm sorry. I say this to my son all the time. This is where we have to be right now to help people around us. We need people who are serious about fixing problems. And unfortunately, I feel like the opposition to this, it is, you know, kind of careening into a very dark place. And that's not going to help stop the spread of the disease. So we have to have people think about others around them. Wash your hands, wear a mask, keep your distance, support small business, do takeout. That's what we do. You can do those things. They're not mutually exclusive. We can get through this, but we all have to work together and think about other people.
And what you didn't mention is that the Twitter account that shared this information, it was an outright lie. There was a picture that was shown supposedly of Governor Pritzker's daughter with a large group of friends outdoors celebrating something. She was not in this picture. It was an absolute lie. It was proven to be a lie, and yet Republican elected officials were sharing this. I mean, it's not just Tom DeVore. I mean, it's easy to pick on him because he's a whole unlikable human being, but there were a lot of people who participated in this bad behavior.
There is, and that's what's most troubling is how, and you know, this is, we're talking about this because it's, you know, the awful situation that it has put put a teenager in, whose father happens to be an elected official. I go through this too, by the way, on a much smaller scale, of course, but how these things morph into. You know, I don't like the term conspiracy theories, but it's based off of, you know, things that aren't true. And then people make judgments about very important things based on things that are just flat out lies. And when you have mainstream elected officials perpetrating these things, it gives it more credence. It gives it more value in the minds of voters. But if you trace it all the way back, it just isn't true. And what we have then at the end of that scenario is a really bad situation for a young woman. We have a really bad situation for a family, and it gets us further away from solving problems for our state at large. That's why I think it's so dangerous. This happens every day, Brian, as you know, in the social media realm, especially on the internet. I don't know how we fix it, frankly. But it is really damaging, and it's damaging people, it's damaging families, it's damaging our society, it's damaging our democracy. And we have to figure out a way to make sure that things are addressed. I don't have, you know, quick answers for this one, but, you know, I just ask people to make sure that what they consume as news, or what they think is news, what they consume, make sure you consume things that you know are true, and understand when things aren't, and try to discern a difference between those two things.
That seems like an awful lot of effort to many people, Senator. Daily I get up and I kind of sort of go back and forth on the American spirit and what got us through World War II, what it got us through 9/11, you know, what happens every October when we do a food drive, and I see the best in people and I see a fortitude in this country, and then I see sort of the daily behavior, and I careen all the way back to, like, what has happened to us as Americans? You know, why did we decide to turn on each other instead of turning on this virus?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. At least this is my opinion, is because too many people see that as an opening for political gain. Too many people in elected offices, too many people in positions of authority, too many people that have been entrusted power by voters see that, what you just described, as an opening to further political gain. I don't know to what ends, but I guess it's just to gain in terms of politics, ultimately through elections. That's what I see. And we have to stop that. I mean, we just have to end that. And we have to understand that the more we do of that, we chip away at the democracy that we all love and know and have known our whole lives. Because if we let things like a parody account that was, you know, posted a picture and claimed that the governor's daughter, teenage daughter, was sitting in that picture. And then it spreads through this ecosystem of what too many people refer to as news. It's not news, right? But they refer to it as news. And it permeates into households and minds all across the state. And then people make judgments about what they saw, assuming it was true. You know, that was done for a reason. And it was done for, you know, I think in the coldest sense, it was done for political gain. And, you know, spare no expense, spare no person, spare no family, spare no thoughts, spare the truth. But it was done for political gain. We have to get away from that because we got some really big challenges right now. You know, when you look at the numbers and you look at what's happening at the tail end of this, there's going to be a whole lot of sacrifice. There's going to be a whole lot of loved ones that are lost at the end of this if we don't get our hands around it. And we have to get our hands around it right now.
If you had a chance to listen to the governor yesterday, man, did I feel for him as a human being, as a parent, and for everybody today who will, despite what we just talked about, despite all of the reporting on this, will still share out on social media that the governor's flying off to Florida, breaking all the rules. This daughter has death threats. I want you to imagine in your home, you know, dealing with having a teenager and all of the teenage angst that comes with that, schools not being open, life being turned upside down, and people threatening the life of your child. Can you imagine having to go through that?
I cannot. And, you know, my our daughter, Abby, is 15. I mean, she's 15 now. When I started this, I think the first time I appeared on your show in the summer, you know, of 2012, I think she was with me that day. She was 7 years old. And, you know, it gave me a pause as a father. You know, you can't separate yourself from who you are as a public official. And I don't think voters want you to either. But it gave me pause when I ran for the state Senate because of the impact that it would have on my children. Fast forward to 2020, Brian, I had no idea 8 years ago that it would be like it is today. I had no idea. And you make a valid point. And I say this even to people on the other side of the aisle who I agree with on nothing, but I respect them. And I would say that family is off limits. It should be off limits. Focus on issues. Focus on debating merits of issues. But going after a teenager of an elected official in order to gain for politics, right? Political gain. That's what this is about. Going after any teenager of any elected official should be off limits, and everybody should reject that. They should reject that. And that's something that we can never embrace, I believe, in our political discourse.
I'd like to believe that people would look in the mirror and feel ashamed over this kind of behavior. I really would, but I don't think it exists anymore. And I would like to point out the irony that the people who scream the loudest about fake news and hoax are the ones passing this type of thing along on social media. We see it every single day. What do you say to the small business owner, to the medium-sized business owner, to our hospitals? Senator, I don't know of anyone that hasn't been impacted financially by this pandemic.
Everyone has been impacted. There is no doubt about it. And, you know, if I showed you, for example, Brian, the scope and the depth of the individuals, the non-for-profit entities, the businesses, small and large, just yesterday that I talked to, it's evidence that everyone's being affected when it comes to the spread of COVID-19 and the continued spread of COVID-19. It's not cliche to say, because it's true, to say we're all in this together. We are all in this together. And the efforts to divide and to separate and to, you know, to cordon off one group that has been impacted by COVID-19 and go to them and say, look what's happening to you. That's not happening to others. No, it's just outright nonsense. There's motivations behind those things. It's money. It's politics. You know, it's all the worst things that come out at a time like this. But we have to understand, we are all in this together. And the only way we're going to get through it is if we support each other and we understand that our behavior and our actions impact others probably more so than it ever has at any point in time in any of our lives. We have to understand that we're in this together.
I think both political parties, you know, have a certain amount of gamesmanship in this. I mean, yesterday, our Illinois governor, along with the governor of Indiana, the governor of Kentucky, the governor of Michigan, governor of Minnesota, the governor of Ohio, and governor of Wisconsin, released a bipartisan video on, you know, what we need to do. It's funny to me that we're going through this for 8 months and they do this after the election.
Well, it's, you know, I'll tell you, I looked at that video probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 times because, first of all, how often do we see Republicans and Democrats embrace each other, in this case visually, to promote a message that they collectively, both parties collectively think will help their side, right? That's what that video was about. When you think of it in its most harsh terms, right, harsh political terms, But at the end of the day, I think that video is about the understanding by governors in each of those states that the situation that we're facing is you know, it's deep and it's tough and it's really, really difficult when you look at science and numbers and data. And that can be said for Kentucky, Democratic governor, you know, which is kind of an oddity. We don't see that too often. Indiana, Republican governor, red state, Illinois, blue state, et cetera. So I think those are good things. I'm glad Governor Pritzker took part in that. I'm glad that the other governors did. We need more of those things because I think that transcends, you know, that transcends what we had just spent several minutes talking about, you know, the division side of this equation. So we need more of that from all Republicans and Democrats, not just governors, everybody at every level of government.
Senator, I agree. I approve of the message. My only point was that we've been in this situation since September. We've known what these numbers were going to do, and both parties will not put elections ahead of the safety of the American people. This message should have been done a long time ago, not after the safety and the comforts of having the election being over with.
Yeah, elections have become too much winner. I don't know if the term's winner take all, Brian, but you know, too much is too much is put on the outcome of the election, and you know, this has been a trend for for decades, right, in the country, where everything is put on the outcome of the election. That's why too many times the word the term "they are the enemy," right, the word "enemy" is used about the other side of the aisle, or verbiage in terms and words that really matter are used. But I would agree with you, too much is put on the outcome of the election. We have to figure out how to get back to a respectful discourse so that in the time of a pandemic, Republicans and Democrats aren't afraid of working together so much during the pandemic, let alone measuring that toward an election. I understand your point.
Senator Menard, we didn't get a chance to talk about transportation dollars. We'll do that next time. Please stay safe. Our best to your family. Thank you for your leadership, and we appreciate you being with us today, Senator Andy Menard.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.